Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're moving on in the theme for this year. This is what we've downloaded from the Lord and the direction that God's given us for the pulpit this year, the simple idea of equipping the saints. So the text comes from Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And this is what Paul says of the church in Ephesus. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the beautiful babies we're able to dedicate. We thank you for everyone in this house, God, and the way that you've really put us together, Lord, the body of Christ. Lord, in your heart, your intention that every time we gather, Lord, be it Sunday or discipleship or worship time or a mission trip, God, house church, Lord, every gathering, Lord, is to equip the saints, Lord, for the work of service to build up this body. And so and I pray, God, that you would, even now, you would equip us and speak to us, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. We just got a really deep sense that this year that God really wanted to equip us. I'm going to explain a little bit more of what that means. God wants to equip us for a greater capacity for love and intimacy. He wants to equip us primarily through the Word of God. He wants to equip us to build strong relationships and strong marriages. He wants to equip us to build up our families. He wants to equip us with our spiritual gifts so we can build up the body. He wants to equip us and he wants to build up our spirits and also bring healing to our souls. Right? He wants to equip us so that we can build up his church here in Hong Kong. The reality is, if you look in this passage in Ephesians, it seems that God has called some individuals with certain gifts and abilities that enable them to lead with certain functions and offices within this body of Christ. So he starts off this passage and he says, and he gave some as apostles, as prophets, as evangelists, as pastors and teachers. And so these are the three primary, what they would consider offices, or if you don't know what that means, the kind of roles, five primarily leadership roles that is within the church. And most of us that are in some type of leadership in the church, you perform one of those functions of these five offices, of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. This is what, if you ever heard, this is what's called fivefold ministry. How do you knock the devil out? Fivefold ministry, right? All five come together. Now, there's some theologians that say actually it's four. They say it's actually the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, and the pastor teacher, which is one. But I don't buy that. I think Paul made it very clear that there seem to be different roles in relation to that. And so, before we get into all the nitty-gritty of this, I just want to take a step back, and I want to talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for a moment. And the way I want to do this is just simply ask this question. Is this, PSAM, are you talking about an office, or are you talking about a function? And so, just to give you an idea, the charismatic church, the charismatic Pentecostal church, primarily believes it's an office. The evangelical church primarily believes it's a function. And so, and I want to make a case to you today that actually it's an office. It's more role-based than actually function-based. I want to do it a couple different ways. In other words, another way of saying that, is it really an apostle versus being apostolic? Is there a prophet as people just primarily being prophetic? Is it a real evangelist, or is it primarily a product of being evangelistic? Is it a pastor, or is it just someone who's pastoral? Is it a teacher? Like, is that the case? Or is it someone that just is instructive, is the idea? You guys kind of get, it's basically, the question is it a noun or is it an adjective that goes about it? And I have two reasons that I want to lay out for you. I want to give you two reasons why I believe it's a real office and not a function. The first one is in Ephesians 4, verse 11, the figure of speech that's used in the passage, every single one of them is a masculine noun. And so they're not adjectives, they're nouns. And so when Paul is writing this, he's actually talking about a person of an apostle, a person of a prophet, a person of an evangelist, a person as a pastor, a person as a teacher. He's not merely talking about a function. He's actually talking about a role, a title in many ways. And so it's really simple. The figure of speech that's used, right, is a masculine noun. Apostolos, a prophetes, evangelistes, a pomer, and a didaskalos. These are the words in Greek, and every single one of them is a masculine noun. And so we're talking about a person. So I just appeal to the scriptures. I mean, that's all we can do is we go to the scriptures and we let the text inform us instead of our circumstances or our ideas or these things or our culture. And so that's the first one. The figure of speech that's used is a masculine noun. And so Paul seems to make a very clear case that this is actually an office or a person and not just something that a person does. The second reason why I want to suggest that this is actually a person or an office is simply the verse afterwards, verse 13. And I think verse 13 kind of closes and seals the deal. Here's what verse 13 says up on the screen. He says, so I'll do it all context. And God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In other words, when will the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, when will that office cease? When? When Jesus comes back, basically. He lays out the case. He says that these offices, these people are in the church and operating in their function in this way, in their role, when until we all attain to the unity of faith. Brothers and sisters, has the church of Jesus Christ, have we attained the unity of the faith? Come on. This is not rhetorical. Have we attained the unity of faith? Do you see incredible unity throughout the body of Christ? No, we don't. Have we come to the knowledge of the Son of God? Are we in the full knowledge of the Son of God? No, we're not. Can we say that we've come to be a mature man? We're getting there, I hope, right? Some of the wives are like, definitely not, you know? No, we're not talking about your husband. We're just talking about the church, okay? No, it's not the case. And what's the standard? To the measure which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Have we attained and come in terms of our unity, in terms of our knowledge, in terms of our growth and maturity, have we attained the fullness of Christ? No, we haven't. I think that's going to happen when Jesus comes back, right? He says now, right, we see dimly in a mirror, and then when the perfect comes, we will know fully and be fully known. And so that's 1 Corinthians. And so we understand this now. And so in other words, what Paul is saying, that he's going to have people in the church that operate as apostles, people that operate as prophets, people that operate as evangelists and pastors and teachers, right? And they're gonna equip the saints, equip the church. The saints are mean. The word means the holy ones. And what they're gonna do is they're gonna do the work of the service, and they're gonna build up the body of Christ. And that's gonna happen until basically the consummation of the age. It's not gonna go. I wanna actually just even take a step back and say, there is not one passage in Scripture, there is no proof text in the Bible that says that these offices or the present day gifts of the gifts of the Spirit have ceased in this present age. I challenge you to show me biblically. Don't show me through the innuendo. Show me biblically. Give me a proof text. There actually isn't one. You know, honestly, for me, what I find very biblically erroneous, you know, as well as theologically suspect in many ways and hypocritical, is that a lot of evangelicals, they have no problem calling someone an evangelist. They have no problem calling someone a pastor. People call me a pastor. Right? They have no problem calling someone a teacher or a professor in a seminary or something like that, but they have a lot of issues talking about apostles and prophets. That's an error. You can't just divvy up the scriptures because this is more likable to you in that way. It's you basically have to take the whole counsel of God. You can't pick and choose and nitpick. And when people do that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm not making this connection, but when people take little pieces of scripture and build a theology on it, do that, we basically call those cults. And that's it's not the way you do Bible study. It's not the way that you read and understand scripture. It's the whole counsel of God. And so the simple reality is, if you have pastors, you have to have apostles. If you have teachers, you have to have prophets, right? If you have evangelists, you guys understand what I'm saying. And so most of the body of Christ are comfortable with three of them. Well, two and a half. Even evangelists is kind of, you know, up in the air and stuff. But it's got to be the whole counsel of Scripture. Amen? You guys understand what I'm saying? And so it's important that we have that. And so in the body of Christ, we're talking about the big body of Christ, the worldwide body of Christ, but also I think in this body of Christ, we have people who are apostles, we have people who are prophets, we have people who are evangelists, who are pastors and teachers. Now, let's just go into church life for a moment, okay? So, Pastor Sam, do we now have to change people's titles? And so do we have to say, okay, I know that you're Pastor Sam. Okay, well, now we're going to start calling you Apostle Sam. No, don't do that, okay? And so that's not really our church culture in this way. And that's not really how we want to operate as a church. We believe that there's offices, that there are specific roles, but in terms of titles and things like that, you know, please just call me P. Sam, right, or Pastor Sam, or whatever the case may be. That's more than enough. And I'll tell you a story that's related to that. Years ago, when I was doing college ministry, there was a real move of God happening. It's happening all over the world. And I had a period of time, it was probably, I'd say for about 6 months, and it seemed like every meeting that I went to or I just encountered someone that operate in a really a heavy prophetic role, every person, they would pray for me, and they would say something to the effect of apostle or apostolic or something like that. I didn't even know what it meant, to be honest. And so, you know, I started reading up on it a little bit, and you know, just upon reading, it seemed like, okay, it sounds kind of interesting. And I read about 5 or 6 books at that time. At that time, I was going to Fuller Seminary, and I was doing my degree there, and I happened to take a class with a professor who seemed to be kind of his specialty, C. Peter Wagner. And so Dr. Wagner, I took a church growth class with him, and I took two other classes, one of them dealing with spiritual dynamics. And so we went through, and he was teaching about apostles, there are apostles on the earth and prophets and these things, which is kind of new to me. And so we're going through this. I took the class, and so I kind of forgot about it. That was years ago. That was like 25 years ago. And then maybe about 15 years ago from now, as we started Solomon's Porch, as we started church planting a little bit and getting into that, I had another season where people kept bringing that title up over and over and over again, and I couldn't ignore it this time. I couldn't let it pass. I had to really dig deep and figure out what this is. Some of you guys would have remembered years ago. I mean, I think this is now maybe 12 years ago or so. How many of you guys were here when Chuck Pierce came and spoke at SP? Right? Just a handful of you guys, all right? So Chuck Pierce came, and he's a renowned speaker, a prophetic intercessor. And he came, and we did a meeting one night here, and then we wanted to bless the city, so we did a bigger meeting for Hong Kong. We held it at Island ECC. Brett was gracious enough to let us use the sanctuary. We packed it out, like 500 or so people during that time. And then during the ceremony, or during the service, he called me up, and he prayed for me as an apostle of the city. Right? Literally scared me to death. And so, so I sit there and I just knelt and I just prayed. I didn't know what to make of it. And it just seemed really odd in many ways. I'm a foreigner into this city. And then some time passed, and I just couldn't shake that off of me for a bit. And so what ended up happening, so now a few years later passed, and I'm just really kind of intrigued. And this has actually been bothering me for a bit. Long story short, Chuck Pierce, Peter Wagner, they were in Dallas. I was trying to have a sit down with Dr. Wagner, and sure enough, we basically got our calendars together, and we realized, oh, he's going to be in Dallas, and so I have to be somewhere else in the States, so I can go to Dallas, and then I can go to where I need to go to preach. And so we end up meeting, and this is the question that I wanted to ask Dr. Wagner. And it was just a simple question, and it was really like, Dr. Wagner, in order to really operate in this function, do I need to change my name, right? Like can I just be called Pastor Sam? Do I need to be called, an apostle or something like that? Because, that word has a lot of seemingly sometimes negative connotations within the body of Christ. I mean, let's just be honest about that. And so, we work with so many different people and along a lot of different streams. We don't want a title or something to be a stumbling block. And so my question was, will a person be able to operate in the fullness of the function without having the title? And so, I'd read a number of his books, and I know that he calls Bill Bright an apostle. Bill Bright will never call himself an apostle. Because this person's not in ministry anymore, but he called Bill Hybels an apostle. A lot of these people, and they would never call themselves apostles, but they're clearly operating in an apostolic function. And so I spent a couple hours with Dr. Wagner in Dallas, and I said, picking his brain. And so, my question was, will a person lose anything? Will they lose any kind of anointing or any power from God if they don't use a title? And Dr. Wagner says, yes, you will lose something. And then my next question was, how much will be lost? I mean, you could tell. I mean, I was really like just trying to really get this down, because I had been meditating on this for years. And so how much would be lost? And I said, give me a percentage. Or I want numbers, I want you're a professor, you're a doctor, and so come on. I want like actual percentage. And he looked at me in the eyes and he says, Sam, it'll be minuscule. That was his words. It'll be minuscule. And so we decided, okay, we're not going to use these titles. And so we're not just for the love of the bigger body of Christ. No one needs to be called, Prophet Matt, or something. Even though I don't, I'm not projecting. You're on the staff, so you're safe. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so you don't have to call anyone an apostle or an evangelist. Like, I think the terms that we use right now as pastor, I think that's fine. Amen? Is that agreeable? Amen? But surely some people are operating in the function, and we recognize that, as the body of Christ. But we don't need to go down that road where we put titles on things. In fact, let me just take a step back. You know the problem with the Korean church? I'm going to go there right now. Do you know the problem with the Korean church is they're so fixated on titles? I'm honest. They're so, and maybe the Chinese church, I don't know, but I have some church experience, and my church experience is in the Korean church. The problem I see in the Korean church is they're so fixated on titles. And so as soon as you come into the church, you get a title. And so, and even as soon as you get saved, you get a title. And then you grow in those titles. And there's a lot of titles out there, right? You start as, this is some Korean, okay? So just, you start as a jipsanim, which just means like a church person, basically, right? You know, and so you get in and all of a sudden you're a jipsanim, right? And then you move on. What's the word for deacon? Oh, it's jipsanim. Okay, so deacon. Are you sure? I think it's something else. That's it, right? So you start with a jipsanim, which means you're just a person that goes to church, right? You believe in Jesus. And then you become a deacon, you're ansu jipsanim, whole nother level. And then in the Korean church, the ultimate is you become an elder, right? But not a biblical elder. You know what I mean? Not like an elder, because the Bible tells us the elders are the ones that preach. It's just an elder means you're successful at work. And so you have some status, so they bring you on board. And so then you're a jangnunim. But if you're a woman, you're a kwanzanim, right? So you're a female elder. But even before that, isn't there like ansu, jangnunim? It's like there's all these different stages, and you get up, and it just goes and goes, and people just work for these titles. People campaign for these titles, right? Because they vote. I personally know people that were campaigning to become an elder. And they go through vote, because primarily a lot of it is Presbyterian churches. And they voted, and they didn't get the title of the elder, and so they moved to another church. I know people like this, right? And I'd be like, you became an elder, and you didn't get it, and so you moved to another church? Doesn't mean you're an elder, you're so committed to that church? And so there's a danger of chasing titles, is what I'm saying. Now, I want to back that up by saying the Korean church is also beautiful. With those title-chasing kind of stuff, the Korean church prays, man, right? It prays. I challenge any church. I mean, any church in the U.S., in England, in Europe, Korea. I mean, just go to any kind of ethnic church. You go to the parking lot of a Korean church at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they'll be full. They'll be full. I'm telling you, right? Because people, they wake up to pray. And I think that's the saving grace of the Korean church in many ways. So I'm not here just to bash the church. I think the Korean church is beautiful in so many ways. Their love for missions, right? Their sacrificial giving is just over the top. And so there's beautiful things, but there's also other things that we can just be honest and recognize in this way. And so I just don't want to be a church with all these different titles. And I, I just it just seemed that the positive benefits of that it's good, but I think there's a lot more negativity that can creep into the church, and I just want to bypass that. Does that make sense? Amen. Okay, does it make sense? All right, let me try to explain it a different way then. Okay, thank you. All right. You know, that's okay. Long sermons, I want you to know, just this is from my heart. Long sermons is not the idea, is not the fault of the pastor. Okay? Come on, church. Long sermons are the fault of the congregation. Because, see, what happens is, if I say something, I explain something, and then I look at the congregation, and they look like this, and they look puzzled, then I have to explain it a whole different way. You get it? All right. Wow. We're going to have the most vocal church in Hong Kong now. All right. So that's basically, and so we're not going to get into those titles, but we clearly, there are these roles or these offices, and there are these functions. So for me as a church, really, I want to just really focus more on the functions, because the reality is it's not just one apostle and one prophet. I believe, like in the priesthood of all believers, that we all move into this, and there's like a gift projection that happens, and that we become apostolic, that we can also become prophetic and evangelistic, you know what I mean, and pastoral, right, and also instructive for us as a teacher. I think it's important that we embody the fullness of the fivefold in function more than the title or the role. Does that make sense? Okay, but at the same time, we're going to honor the office and the role, and so that's what these offices that happen here, and so the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, what do they do? What do these people do in these offices? Well, Paul says they equip the saints. Here's some definitions of the word equipping. It means to render, to mend what is broken, to repair, to fit out, to put in order, to arrange, to adjust, to strengthen, to perfect, to complete. I'll give you the best definition. Here's the best definition. To make one what he or she ought to be. I love this. This is from the Strong's Concordance, the dictionary. The best definition of what equipping is: to make one what he or she ought to be. In other words, there is a destiny of God on your life. There is someone, and we can look back and we can talk about the mature man, right? Like what does the mature Sam look like? What does the mature man or woman, and to the fullness of the stature of Christ, what does that person look like? And what the outcome is to get there is the equipping. These are all taking place to bring each person mature in Christ, to bring each person to that very thing, what they were created for, what they ought to be and what they ought to be doing. In other words, who she or he truly, truly is. It's really, really important. God created you for a purpose. God created you because he loved you. He wanted to spend eternity with you, but he created you with a purpose. And that purpose is who you are, right? You're the lover of God, but it's who you are. And so what the equipping is, and this is what the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what they're meant to do, they're meant to bring you closer to who you really are in Christ. It's the fullness of the maturity, the stature that belongs to him. And this is what, to make one what he or she ought to be. It's basically the vision of God for your life. And these people in leadership, they help you along in this process to become mature, that you can be who you are supposed to be. Not that you're like you're an impersonator. We're all on the way, and so we're moving that person along that path along the way. Amen. Does that make sense? So what do the saints do then? And so we know what these offices do. What do the saints do? What they do is they work and they serve to build up the body of Christ. And so the pastor, right, our basic primary role is training. It's really not the doing. The doing takes place within the body. And so when the body operates in its function, it builds up the body of Christ. It builds up the church. And so the work of the ministry is done by the saints, right? And so turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, right? It's you, right? You do the work of the ministry. It's really important. They build up, and this is really interesting. So I did a word study, and you know, I kind of went to the Ephesians passage, and I kind of did a deep dive into the text a bit. And we know that they work and serve to build the body of Christ. It's interesting. The word building up, I think it's a very interesting word. It's in Greek, it's a combination of two different words. It's oikodome. And so if you know what oikos means and you know what dome means, it's the same thing. They both mean house or home. And so, but Paul, he seemed to, you know, like we know your domicile is a place where you live, is your residence. That's from the Greek word dome. Oikos means family, home in this way. And so Paul takes these two words that are very similar. They're similes of one another. He put these two words, and my sense is what he's doing is the building up of the church. He's basically building a house into a home. He's building a house into a family. We know you may move into a house or a dwelling, but it takes time to build a home. We know that, right? You can move into a new apartment, and so you basically move your dome, you move your domicile, but in order to make it an oikos, it requires some time. It requires something. There's a building up. There's a process. And so what the saints do is when they work and when they serve the Lord and you know, they basically get their hands dirty, basically. When they do that, what happens to the church? The church turns into a place, and it becomes a family. A church turns into a residence, right? And it becomes a home. That's what the building up of the body of Christ is about. It's not so much we're talking about building up, you know, muscles and strength. It's not really about that, but it's really about building a family, a building a home. One of my heroes in the faith was Lauren Cunningham. And Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder of YWAM. And I remember him and his wife sharing this story. It was years and years ago. And Lauren, at one time, had the Guinness Book of World Records of visiting the most countries. He had the record. Someone else has taken it over now. But he had the record. He visited the most countries and territories in the world. And so you can imagine he lived in so many different places. And I remember telling him one day, and he would say that you know, we lived in so many different places, and even hotels, you know, where we went to, and you know, we were traveling the world and doing these things. But he says it was always Darlene's gift to make wherever we were a home. And so she would just bring things from their place in Hawaii, pictures and knickknacks and something, even in their hotel or in their hostel or whatever it may be, so that it could be like a home. She was oikodome. She was building up. And so she was creating this atmosphere of family. And so she had such an incredible gift in doing that. Brothers and sisters, think about this. When you serve, like when you give of yourself and you're doing the work of the service and serving this house, you're basically doing something beyond. It's not just basically, you know, just a place. All of a sudden, it turns into a family. That's the building up. It's not just a house. It becomes a home. It becomes this place. And you know, and over the years, I tell you, the SP has been a home for so many people. I can't tell you. I get text messages, emails, almost on a weekly basis, you know, from people that have left our community. And you know, they'll always say something. I just got a message yesterday from one of our old members. And she's telling me how, you know, she's helping out in her church and, you know, she's doing all these things. It's great. And at the end, you know, big heart, you know, what's that? Big heart. And she said, but SP will always be my spiritual home. And there's something about that. And that's what we want out of a church. Right? That's what we want out of our spiritual experience in this way. But it's going to take all of us, right, to work together. It's going to take all of us to be enabled and equipped, and so that we can be equipped and have the tools, right, that we're able to do the work of the ministry and serve, that we can make this a family and a home. Amen? Amen. All right. Just for that, I'm going to end my sermon right now. I feel like you got it. I had a whole nother page and a half. Right? So let's close our eyes. Let the worship team come up to the front. I'm not here to talk. I'm here for you to get it. I think you got it. You guys can all buy Rachel dinner after the fast now. But let's pray. God, we're going to embark on quite a journey this year. A lot of different things, a lot of different people speaking into our lives to equip, to bring us, to make us and bring us to the place where we ought to be, to make us the people that we ought to be, the people that God had destined. And so we're equipped in this way. And then we work and we serve to turn a place into a family, to turn a house into a home, to build up the body of Christ. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I tell you one simple way you can do the work of the ministry and the work of the service. Our church right now is on a 21-day fast. I know many of us are joining in fasting. We're also praying in the mornings at 7 a.m., Monday through Saturday. I encourage you to come out. Do the work of the ministry, the hearty work of prayer. I want to make this statement. If you're a member of this church, right, you should come out at least once in our 21 days. Come on, church. If you consider this to be your body, surely you can come out once. I mean, more is better. But once? I know we can't Monday through Friday. We have it on Saturday. No one has an excuse. Brothers and sisters, let's do our part to make this a place where people can encounter God. Let's do our part to turn this place into a family. Strangers into a family, a house into a home. And as the worship team leads us, let the Holy Spirit speak to you about your role, your function, your service.
Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will march through the land. All of creation is longing for your unveiling of power. Would you release your anointing? Oh God, let this be the hour. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face.
Stand to our feet and let's worship the Lord together.
Ruler of the nations, ruler of the nations, the world has yet to see the full release of your promise. The church in victory. Turn to us, Lord. Turn to us, Lord, and touch us. Make us strong in your might. Overcome our weakness, that we could stand up and fight. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth the glory of your Son. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face.
Amen. Let's close our eyes. I know we usually pray for others, but right now I just want you to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, what's my role? What's my function? How can I be part of this process that brings the body of Christ to the fullness of the stature that belongs to Christ? Lord, what do you want me to do that helps me become who you want me to be? And just listen. God, for some of you, God's speaking to you about helping out in a ministry. For some, God's speaking to you about your home. That maybe this time right now is for you to focus on your kids. That's ministering to this body as well. Your kids are part of this body, remember. Whatever way, respond to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that you knit us together, God. Lord, we are strangers, God, acquaintances, Lord, that you want to become a family. Lord, this is a place, God, Lord, but you want it to become a home. Would you help us, Lord? Would you use the gifts and abilities, Lord, that people have that you've given to them to equip the saints, God, to bring healing into their lives, to bring them to a place where they ought to be, God, your destiny, that they could build up, they could turn this place, God, into a home, building up the body of Christ. Lord, we have everything we need right here in this room, God, for that to happen. But it'll take everyone, all of us to take a place, God, to move forward, to take a stand. And so help us build your church. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.